thank you to the committee for all that work. It has taken lots of time to reconstruct and evaluate. And I also just want to put out to folks, I removed myself, obviously, from the decision-making. Of course, it warms my heart to see her. I forgot I was going to bring a picture of me and my partner Sue and my son David and Corinne sitting in our lap on this very stage. And I forgot it, but I'll bring it next time and put it in the foyer just so you get to see. And how is it, I mean, how can you not be proud, right? Just, she's quite a star. So, speaking of that, thriving, not surviving. My own personal story, back in about 1989, and I think it was October, I walked through those doors, and Reverend Dr. Carolyn McEwen was here speaking. And if anybody would have asked me at that time, whether family, friends, or people here, how are you doing? My favorite line was, I'm surviving. I didn't know about Science of Mind. And what do I mean by that for those that haven't been here very long? I didn't know how powerful my thoughts and beliefs were. I didn't know how powerful my words were. Yes, words can change your brain. Neurologically, metaphysically. I didn't know that the power behind the declaration of I am. I didn't understand that I am surviving was putting a lot of power in that declaration to survive. I didn't know that I needed to set my intentions for something greater than surviving. I didn't know I was lining up my energy behind those words. I did have faith, but I wasn't really exercising that faith. So when I came to this center, my relationship and my job, both, you know, job is also a relationship, were not flourishing. I was surviving. And while I had left Catholicism many years earlier, I wasn't really sure what I was looking for. But I know when I got here, I liked what I was hearing. What was I hearing? There is a power for good in the universe, and you can use it. Universal Spirit lives in me, as me, and through me, to the extent that I allow it to flow through me. I am unlimited potential. The words and ideas here expressed felt so much more expansive and created a space in my mind that there was something more than just surviving. Of course, I was much younger then, 28 years ago. You know you're old when you can go back that far. Old. I think of some of my difficulties that I had in my life at that time, and I think it had a lot to do with what my mom always told me. Maybe I'll show her this archive, maybe not. My mom told me I was stubborn. Now, again, I'm older, wiser, more mature now. But as I got older, I was able to, of course, counteract my mom, and here's the key word, without emotional attachment, to say, no, Mom, I'm assertive. But that's because I learned the difference. What is the difference between stubborn and assertive? Well, assertiveness is being active in getting or doing the things you want while working with other people and circumstances. Assertiveness is connected to intention, passion, drive, and willingness to compromise and negotiate to, keyword, create,
to create a way to make things happen. To create means you must be open to something new. You must be open at the top. Stubbornness is planting your feet and standing your ground no matter what. Stubbornness is connected to immovability, inflexibility, and rigidity. In other words, stubbornness says, I already have the answer. Stubbornness is also rooted in ego, where assertiveness is rooted with flow and working with the known and the unknown. So a couple lessons ago, I spoke about the book, Who Moved My Cheese? We still have a couple of those in the bookstore. I know a lot of you have read that, but if you haven't, it's still a good book. And it talked a little bit about two characters, Hem and Haw, and one of them, when the cheese disappeared, became stubborn. What happened to that cheese? Who could take my cheese? I'm going to figure out, and I'm going to get to the bottom who took my cheese. Started taking out the tools, started digging through the walls and in the cement. Where is my cheese? Who moved my cheese? Meanwhile, the other character is like, why don't we go look someplace else? Nope, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Stubbornness. Assertiveness. So I began to take science of mind classes, and I learned the power of my words and my beliefs, those both conscious beliefs, but also subconscious beliefs that we learn as a child, as we're being raised and know no different. And I learned how to co-create with spirit using science of mind principles. What do I mean by that? Well, I like to use the analogy of learning to play basketball. We all know that there is a law of gravity. And if you've never dribbled much, you know, it takes a little while. But pretty soon, you know, if you're an NBA star, or I always love the Harlem Globetrotters, you learn how to maneuver that ball in ways that are unfathomable for people who aren't exercising that gravity with that ball. Well, it's the same with science of mind principles. There are spiritual principles that when you begin to exercise them and embody them, then you begin to be able to, well, dribble in life, if you will. And when you learn to dribble with the principles of science of mind, then you do more than survive. You thrive. Now, of course, when I came through those doors, I had no idea I would become a practitioner. And I have to say, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn where most practitioners didn't realize that they were going to become a practitioner. Some do. Some know that, yes, this is for me. This is where I'm headed. I didn't know that I would become a minister in 2000. And very humbly, I didn't know that I would become the leader of this center to carry on the legacy of the founder. And it is an honor to be in this position. But let's begin now with, where are you surviving or thriving? So I'm going to ask you to get comfortable and close your eyes, mostly just to get other distractions out. Of course, when your eyes and your ears are here, just get comfortable, close your eyes. And on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is surviving and a 10 is fully thriving, how would you rate your life right now? Just contemplate that for a moment. And from that place on the scale, what would your life look like if you were only surviving? and from where you rated yourself looking the other direction, what does your life look like as a 10 if you are thriving? Do you feel it? All right, you can bring yourself back into the room. So what's the difference between that scale of you surviving and of you thriving?
Intention.
Choice.
Perception.
Perception and reception, probably.
Sure.
Freedom.
Fun.
Consciousness, commitment, joy, comparing. That contrast makes a difference. Yes, contrast, black and white and the colors in between help to create that diversity of choices and freedom. What else?
Activity.
So a thriving has an activity to it, where a surviving is
receptivity,
openness,
empowerment.
Creativity is very important. Ah. Now, you know what's interesting is I looked up in the Science of Mind textbook here, I looked up the word grace, because I think you're totally right on that. When you are tuned in and turned on, it is with ease that life flows. So I looked up the word grace in Science of Mind, and I didn't have my, there's a concordance that goes with the Science of Mind. I didn't have it with me. But grace is not mentioned, but I would call that grace, meaning when you are in alignment with your intentions and purpose for living, life flows. And then you feel that freedom and that energy moving through you, a thriving, using your creativity to co-create with spirit. Lead author and PhD candidate Daniel Brown did some research and identified a number of traits or accomplishments that tend to lead people to feel they are thriving. Now, he's not a Science of Mind person, mind you. But he noted that a thriving person is adaptable, flexible, motivated, optimistic, proactive, socially competent, and spiritual or religious. Those that thrive also tend to enjoy learning, and they believe in themselves. None of those would apply to Science of Mind, would they? Now, you may have all your routines set. And frankly, I believe this? I believe that in general, the older we get, the more we tend to be in our routine, right? We found those things that make us comfortable. So when you're thriving, does that mean you never hit a rock or a hard part in life? Nope, no guarantees. It's sort of like the shocks on your car. The road is still going to have potholes. But based on your faith and your understanding, you can be riding in a car that has no shocks or lots of shocks. Either way, you're going down the same road, but a whole different feeling. Now, John Maxwell is known as an individual who teaches leadership, and he wrote, "You'll never change your life until you change something you do daily." Swallow that now. Daily. The secret of your success in thriving is found in your daily routine. How is that so? When you're living in survival mode, yes, you're in routine, and there may be this sense that it's hollow. And as somebody mentioned, intention and purpose make life meaningful. So when we're just doing our habit and our routine, it may not feel like we're thriving. When you're in surviving, you may just be going through the motions. Let today be your turning point. One of the core reasons why we get accustomed to living life of survival instead of thriving is because we let sort of the hustle and bustle of life move us along like a boat that has nowhere to go in the ocean. Sometimes we think being busy is more important than doing our spiritual practice. And it's sort of funny when I think about that, when I'm in the I need more spiritual practice right now kind of thinking, it's like, how many hours in a day do I have, and why do I think more spiritual practice isn't a good thing to find time for right now? It sets my intention, my purpose, so that I can thrive. Because, let's face it, if you're just watching a lot of TV, it's a pretty rough ride, is it not? As I mentioned last time I spoke, being in the hospital and watching the news about Las Vegas was insult to injury. We must make sure we balance our time in the area where we are setting our intention to thrive. Without discipline to listen to ourselves and become mindful of the chatter going on in our mind, we can't ensure what we tell ourselves about us thriving. If you're not mindful, your mind just chatters away. You know, as Michael Singer likes to say, would you ever call that voice in your mind a really good roommate? Usually not. But if you're not mindful of it, the words you're using are setting the tone for surviving, not thriving. We also let our emotional attachments weigh us down. Emotional energy can weigh us down if we aren't processing and healing our emotional wounds with ourselves, with our family, with our friends, people in the job, people that we volunteer with. And fear can also weigh us down. But I'm going to speak to that emotional attachment because, of course, for those that know anything about Buddhism, they talk about attachment. And we want to claim things as mine and ours and in my domain. And then when we get attached, it's like hanging on to the side of a rushing river. But as Connie said today in the meditation, if like the falling leaves, we just let go, we float. It's not so difficult, but it does require processing. And speaking of emotional attachment, the Macintosh laptop that I usually use last night, the screen went. I was so thankful that I was using Google Docs, meaning I didn't lose it on my laptop. It was in the internet, so I could go find another device that worked. And then another Mac that I was going to bring today for us to do live streaming, I found out didn't have any sound output. Now, I could have got really attached to that. Can you tell I worked at it? It's all good. I'm moving on. It is what it is. I accept that, and what am I going to do now? Sometimes we just let our mind drill down on the details of life, letting the doubts pile up, let our mind run wild and corrupt our thinking, again, instead of going back to spiritual practice, mindfulness, meditation, contemplation. They're all important tools, but it's no good to have tools if you're not going to use them. So, some ways that you can thrive instead of survive is stay purpose-driven or intention-driven. Make meaning of your life. Maybe you already know your life's purpose, which is great. So do everything in your power to line up your action with your purpose. And if you're not sure what your purpose is in life, well, there's this little thing called the Science of Mind magazine that gives you daily, I'm going to call it language, words, concepts, to begin your journey for each day with an intention set for something higher than the details of life. Set up your intention each morning and remind yourself throughout the day. Number two, hang around those who also thrive. Think that's important? Yeah, sort of like, again, floating in the river in the stream of energy there. If you hang around people who are not motivated, they don't do their spiritual practice, and not looking for ways potentially to better or improve themselves, to learn, to be open. When you hang out with people who are excited, willing to grow, want to improve themselves, live their intention, maximize their potential, you'll want to thrive too. And I assume that's why you're here, yes? The Center for Spiritual Living, where it is important for us to live, to learn, to grow, to uplift, to engage, to inspire. It's important to be here at the center as we continue to offer new workshops, have you noticed? New classes, new events, continuing to try to open and expand so that we may all thrive together. With and without, I mean, with the sound healing meditation, it's like you don't need words. You just need that vibration. So that together we can lift each other up as we learn together and continue to grow. And when we make that connection here at the center stronger, it just will ripple out to the Chico community. There were quite a few of us, probably about 7 of us, at the Chico Interfaith Council dinner on Thursday night. Wonderful to connect there, and they had a panel of speakers and dinner, and we talked a lot about immigration, both personally as well as what we knew about immigration. It was a wonderful learning experience. The history professor at Chico State, in 10 minutes, it was quite a fast presentation, spoke about the last 200 years of immigration policies. It was very fascinating. I had no idea. And when we learn, we grow. And when we understand the big picture, frankly, understanding the waves, the tides, as things come and go, was actually, for me, comforting. Like, oh, we've been in places like this before, and we've been in places not like this before. And it will continue to move and change, because change is the only consistent thing we know in our life. And so by being here together, we're constantly growing our truth of understanding who we truly are, affirming the power of we are one, one with the universal source and one with each other. There is only one. And then, I like to say there are 6 spokes to the wheel of my life: brain, body, being, time, people, and money. So if you rated yourself earlier when we were talking about where are you on surviving versus thriving, you can think about these categories as a way to how do I level myself up? For your brain, as I mentioned, it's learning, growing, expanding, reading, being open and exploring the unknown. Body, Are you getting enough sleep, eating healthy, exercising, and caring for your body? Being. Are you taking time for meditation and using those tools? Setting your intention. Being present in nature. Are you managing your time or letting your time manage you? Managing your time to ensure that your life is balanced and that you're getting enough time for the most important aspects of your life. People. Are you spending time with the family and friends that you want to spend time with? Are you getting quality time with people that matter most? And lastly, money. Are you taking time to manage your money, or is money managing you? Another area where a lot of times we can get bogged down emotionally is with money. A place to heal. So you might consider that if you weren't quite a 10 on that thriving scale, choosing a category and determining what is your next intention and path for moving yourself up the next level on the scale. And then, is it possible that you could be thriving and not know it? You know, even if you chose a 7, the awareness of the thriving that you have living in gratitude automatically inflates and expands, right? Because, I mean, seriously, even with what you may see as trauma and drama in the United States, what we live each day compared to sitting in a third world country. And I'm not judging, I'm just saying that what we have each day we begin to take for granted, and gratitude can change the amount of thriving you realize you are really living. Which, of course, by law of attraction, attracts more of it. And so since we're practicing oneness, how can this center thrive if you aren't thriving? So I want you to know, I started with 28 years ago, I walked through those doors. And I want you to know that, you know, I'm here with you to thrive. My purpose, to inspire and empower myself and others to discover our inner wisdom and greatness through divine connection to Source. Spiritual growth, spiritual practice matters. And in order to thrive, not just survive, this center will continue to grow and expand opportunities for you and your friends to practice and grow together. So I hope you'll take advantage of the opportunities that we continue to grow. Give me feedback in areas that you would like to continue to expand, and together we will thrive. So when someone says to you, "How are you?" please affirm with me, "I am thriving."
I am thriving.
I am thriving. Let me hear it. I am thriving.
I am thriving.
Namaste.